Welcome to day 20 of the Jesus Reveal podcast, and my name is Zinhle Mncube. These are 40 days of us really chronicling, reflecting on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And in day 20, we're looking at the moment then where Mary anoints Jesus at Bethany. And today, I'm joined once again for our resident in chief, Pastor Adrian Jacobs. Pastor A, welcome to day 20. Thank you for being with us. We last saw you in day 14.
Awesome. Day 15.
Day 15.
Awesome to be back. And I know that we're learning together.
Yeah, we really are.
It's an awesome journey. Again, people from all over the world are following us in this journey. People are sending us messages from places like Canada.
Wow.
Please send us recording. So you're doing something right.
Whew, God is doing something right. And thank you to everyone that is listening wherever you are. Keep liking, keep sharing. If indeed this is a blessing for you, you can find us on Spotify, can find us on Apple, the Jesus Reveal podcast, and on YouTube, our page is Silent Word of Truth, BrakPam. Pastor Adrian, our scripture reference is specifically John chapter 12 from verse 1 to 8. Now, could you then please just take us on a journey of maybe leading up to this point and just the background before we get then to the anointing?
So it is titled as Mary anointing Jesus at Bethany.
Yeah.
So again, the place of where he is important.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've been saying this over the times I've been here. Nothing stands on its own.
Yeah.
It always is a reflection back to what we've read already. Because where Jesus is in Bethany is important.
Mm.
We will see Mary, Martha, Lazarus, his friend.
Wow.
Same story of Bethany. Mary as well being the one where Jesus drove out seven demons
in Bethany.
But he's in the house of Simon the leper. Now, Simon the leper is the man most scholars believe, according to Matthew, chapter 8, when Jesus comes down the mountain. After
and
you, that
the
beautiful, about the Beatitudes with Pastor Andrew that you spoke about, Jesus then heals the leprous man.
Okay,
so most biblical scholars believe that that leprous man is called Simon the leper. So he invites Jesus home.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, Simon the leper, you would then think in terms of what we understand of leprosy in the Old Testament and the New, is he wouldn't be at home.
Exactly.
So this is an act of thankfulness, act of gratefulness, an act of Jesus being surrounded by some of the most important people in all of Bethany.
Yeah.
Because here he has scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and his disciples, and he has an audience with him in this man's house. And in being in Simon the leper's house, now we see the story introduced of Mary of Bethany, the one whom Jesus has delivered from demonic oppression and possession, coming, bringing her alabaster box of oil, and she breaks it. She puts it on his feet. She anoints his feet.
Yeah.
She cries. Her tears fall on his feet, and then she takes her hair, and she wipes his feet.
Sure. Yeah, that's such a very graphic image that's placed on us, especially in how she expresses she not only just breaks it. I mean, it's very significant that the manner in which she did it and in even how she wiped it. But I just want to take another step back there, Pastor Adrian, and just understand why then she anoints Jesus.
Again, it's foreshadowing for us his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Mm, mm.
So she's giving a foreshadowing of what is to come.
Yeah.
Because already at that scene alone, her being in this room with all these men, because the culture of the day in a setting like that, men would have been mostly in that room. It would mostly have been the patriarchy of the day. So, the Bible is a patriarchal system. We cannot get away from that. The context of the day is written within that.
Yeah.
So again, she breaks into a place and a space she's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
The beauty of the scripture teaches us, as what you did with Pastor Judy when you spoke about the lady that came and broke through, the lady with the issue of blood that broke through. We're breaking through into places and spaces we're not supposed to be. because it's an act of gratefulness and an act of thankfulness and an act of gratitude, not just on Simon the leper's part, but on Mary of Bethany's part. Mary being the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the friends of Jesus. So she's coming and she's giving honor to Jesus.
Mm.
She's giving and showing gratitude for what Jesus has done in her life. In the midst of all these people, in the midst of all these big wigs of the day, in the midst of all these people of great stature and great responsibility and roles within the society of the day, she comes and she gives thanks, offending those in the room.
Indeed.
And even, the one that was the most offended was the skellum of the bunch. Because he says to Jesus, don't you know that that money that or that perfume, that alabaster box, that oil that she's breaking could have paid for all of these projects we're running out here, the missions and the outreach and the feeding and all of those things. And Jesus is talking to him and Jesus says at this moment in time, it's not even about the money. We know the Bible says that the cost of that was a whole year's wages. So to her, it was costly. To her, it was pricey. Thankfulness, Zintle, to everybody listening and watching, being in a space of gratitude to God will cost you something. You and I being grateful for what the Lord has done will cost us. Not just financially, and in her case, it was a beautiful show of her gratitude to him by bringing her whole year's wages, but it will cost us ourselves. It will take us out of our comfort zone to come before the Lord in the midst of others to worship at his feet, to fall at his feet. Many a times I find that in church and in the modern day church, we are so self-aware. We are so self-aware of who we are, what our titles would be, what our position would be, what would people think about us if we had to show gratitude in a place and gratefulness and thankfulness and thanksgiving to the Lord. That would mean us being on our knees before him.
Yeah, I'm even, just when you're saying that, Pastor A, I'm just even thinking around what Mary did. It was not comfortable. It was far from being comfortable because there is you're breaking, I guess, custom and tradition in going to someone's feet, a man's feet, and showing your gratitude in front of all these men. And I'm just now also bringing it back to our time of worship when we gather in an assembly around the extent of, you said costly, and I guess with costliness, it has to be there has to be a point of discomfort as well when we come to worship, in that you're breaking through, you are almost, like you're saying, forgetting yourself in a sense, and getting to positions and postures that aren't necessarily what you're accustomed to and aren't habits.
No, worship should not be predictable. Our thanksgiving before the Lord should never be predictable. Our understanding of what he has done for us should always keep us in an attitude of worship before him. Always keep us in an attitude of being grateful before him, that he is Lord over our lives. She brought extravagant worship to him. In the midst of all these important people, she did what nobody else was willing to do. She did what not even Jesus' disciples were willing to do. Because it was his, one of his disciples that piped up and said, no, this is not right. And this is not how it's supposed to be. And the beauty of it all is when we reflect on it, when we look at why Jesus is at that moment in that man's house, it's also now again fulfilling what his role and his purpose is, him being the Messiah, him being the Christ, him again alluding to what his basic work and his basic purpose for being at that moment in the world is to give himself off, that she's preparing him. She's preparing him for his greatest sacrifice. She's doing what would be done 3 days later or during, or just immediately after his death on the cross, and then him having to be prepared, being embalmed, and all of those things that the women would have to do. And again, Mary being part of that group as well. Yeah. Just foreshadowing for us that in all of this, that are people that the Lord uses, Zintle, that is not seen by the world. Mm-hmm. There are people that the Lord uses, you and I, on a daily basis, that has no reckoning in this world, but they have an important role in the mission of Christ.
All of us,
my brothers and my sisters, have an important role in the mission of Christ. We are there to give extravagant worship because of what he has done for us.
Wow. And I just then, Pastor A, that's really, 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 really powerful. When looking then, maybe there are so many nuggets that you've shared. I just want you to just bring them then to just the key lessons that to those that are listening or watching us at home, in the car, at work, or wherever they may be. What would you like them to walk away with from a lessons point of view, looking at what Mary did and just that entire passage?
Okay, just before I get there, I just want to take a step back as well, because Jesus himself, I was just trying to get the scripture for us.
Yeah.
Jesus says to them in verse 7 of John chapter 12, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial.
Yeah.
For the poor you have with you always, but you do not have me always." Important aspect of that. But then, further to that, verse 9 says that now there is a plot to kill not just Jesus, but also Lazarus.
Yes, because now
those that are looking to kill Jesus now see that here is another man. Because it's not just Mary in the family. It's Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. That is a reminder that this person whom she is worshiping is no ordinary man. He drove out demons out of her, and then he is the resurrection in terms of calling her brother from death into life. So now there's a plot to kill him. So now there's a plot to not just kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus. And before I get to the significance of her doing that, I want to get the significance of this for each and every one of us. If we are with Jesus, according to what Acts chapter 4 teaches us, that after the day of Pentecost, and Peter and the rest of the disciples are now preaching this great gospel, 3,000, 5,000, then they get arrested because of the man lying at the temple, and Peter and John saying, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." So now, if you are with Jesus, the enemy will always seek to destroy us. Just because of what Christ has done. Just because of who he is. Just because of the work that he has started in our very lives. We then recognize that the enemy is not happy with us. But going to the three lessons very quickly, Zintlan, to all of us, about Mary anointing Jesus' feet with her perfume. Number one, God is worthy of our worship at all times. And again, the sacrifice of your worship will cost you something. It will cost us. It will truly ask of us to get out of our comfort zone, like you said. It will ask us to give up of ourselves, to give up that which is precious to us. Number two, God will never withhold anything from us. He will never withhold anything from us. His love is complete and it's definitely unconditional. So even though we see this foreshadowing of Jesus giving his all on the cross, in the act of our worship, he's extravagant with his love. In the act of our worship, he's extravagant with his blessings upon our lives. Number three, that means we should never withhold anything from him. We shouldn't withhold our lives from him. We shouldn't be afraid, because I just said that if you are with Jesus, the enemy is never happy with you. True. So we shouldn't be afraid to live fully for him. We shouldn't be afraid to give off ourselves daily, dying to self, dying to pride, dying to our own needs and wants and desires. We shouldn't be afraid to give everything that we are to the Lord our God.
Yeah, amen, Pastor A. And I think it's in giving Him our all then that we find actual true satisfaction.
Yes, sir.
So there is no giving that goes out without us getting. Actually, we're giving from a point of all getting from all that Christ is. And thank you so much, Pastor A, for just those, firstly, for the background and the unpacking and the significance of that time in Bethany and the various historical contexts around it, and then the significance of what this moment represents for us as believers and what we can also learn from what Mary did and learn from what Christ was foreshadowing at that time.
Amen.
So thank you so much, Pastor Adrian. God bless you. And to everyone that was listening, I pray that again with day 20, that this has been a blessing to you. And more as we go with each day, we've got 20 more days. And I believe, like everyone that's going to be here, believes that we're going to see Jesus in another new way for the next 20 days as we have seen Him in the past 20 days. God bless you as you listen.